WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We've got 1 hour of Money Matters today. Then, of course, Bulldog Brunch at 11, so at 10. So let's get going on the 19th of November, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I know that it seemed a little empty today on the roads out there. I think this is a week of travel, and you're probably already on the road. So if you miss today, there's a lot you want to hear from this hour of Money Matters. And if you don't get it, go to the podcast. If you have an iPhone, of course, or Android, Samsung, go to the podcast app. It's just under Wes Moss Money Matters, and you can find the podcast, because today we're talking about the giant pillars. What are they? What? The giant pillars from the wall of worry. Ooh. The giant pillars from the wall of worry. What? Three events could bring down this stock market that just keeps churning along forward higher. Actually, this week we fell back just a tiny little bit, but just not a lot. For the year, such a good market. Up 15% plus on the S&P 500 2017. Bigger gains for the Dow and even bigger gains for the NASDAQ still. NASDAQ up 26%. In 2017. So it's just been a tremendous rise. And the question that you're thinking, and the investment community is wondering, and you're as an investor, you're thinking back, wait a minute, does this feel a little bit like 1999? So you're starting to wonder that, and you're starting to hear that out there in the vernacular. In the market investment ethos, wow, this market just keeps going up. And if you're watching the NASDAQ, forget the S&P 500 for a minute, even though that is the most important index to really watch. Forget the Dow. The NASDAQ, heavily invested, highly participated in for investors, up another 26%. And the question is, you've got a couple bright stars out there that are making this happen. And you start to wonder, does this feel like 1999? I want to go through the most nerve-wracking pieces of today's market. Because again, we are always looking forward. It doesn't matter what happened over the last week or 6 months or year, even though we talk about it. It's really about what happens over the next year, 3, 5 years. So again, wonderful market, strong market, but does it start to feel like 1999? We'll talk about the giant pillars from the wall of worry today here on this Sunday edition of Money Matters. Sunday before Thanksgiving. The number in the studio, by the way, good morning, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. All right, we're talking about the remnants of 1999. Is that what's happening today? For those of you who are too young to remember, this may be one of the first times in my life I've pulled the whole, well, you may not remember, son. That means I'm getting old too. For those of you who are too young to remember 1999, it was a year where just the whole feeling was palpable, where you could feel the expectations for investors becoming dangerously out of whack. I just remember the feeling. It wasn't a day. This was an entire period of time. And when you're in it, and I was young in this period of time as a newer advisor, it was just part of the ethos. Expectations were, now looking back on it, just completely out of whack. So markets had steadily risen for 9 years. If you look at the 1990s, an incredible run. 1991 up 30% in a year. And we're not talking about the NASDAQ here. We're talking about the general market, S&P 500. 1995, 37% positive in 1995. 1996, up 23%. In a given year. Just this massive string of gains. 1991 to 1999, markets were up over 190%. S&P 500. With an average annual gain of 21%. Can you imagine going up 21% a year straight almost for a decade? No wonder things were just out of whack. There wasn't even a snapback like we saw in 2000. And again, this was not just a period of time where, Markets were recovering from a terrible 1980s. The 1980s were great too. So yes, we've seen a run similar to this since 2009 after the Great Recession. But that what we've experienced, a lot of this has just been kind of a snapback to get kind of back to normal. And then we've pushed higher now only for a few years. First several years after the Great Recession, we were just trying to get back to where we were. The 1990s were piling on an already amazing decade of the 1980s. It was a stellar decade in the 1980s, and then things got even better for investors. So the numbers were insanely good in the 1990s. And year by year by year, investors forgot about the dark side of markets. Optimism was rampant. People were firing their stockbrokers for only being up 20%. My guy was only up 20%. Yeah, I fired him. No, I was only up 25% last year. Jimmy was up 30. I want Jimmy's stockbroker. The E-Trade baby. I don't know if you remember those ads where there's a baby kind of running around. I think they still use the baby for a long time, but the E-Trade baby was buying islands. Cardiac surgeons. They were day trading in between heart surgeries. The whole economy and the stock market was like, it was like a wild party for a little while. It was like the best party you've ever been to. And you're just kind of in the middle of it and you didn't realize what time it was until somebody fell off a balcony. The music stopped and the cops came. That's what happened. Greed, just this wild greed and these crazy expectations, they just kind of crept in and slowly got to the point where the engine just finally cracked and the bubble just finally popped. And then the day of reckoning was upon us. In fact, it took a decade. It took 10 years to clean up after that party. It took an entire decade. So that's a period of time where we just want to know, is that where we are today? Are we at the point of the party where somebody's about to fall off the balcony? Then the S&P 500 dropped almost 50%. But even worse, and that's part of what we're talking about today, with FANG, the FANG stocks, which is the topic of this very important discussion here today. Even worse, the NASDAQ, heavily laden with tech all day, went from over 5,000 to about 1,100. That's an over 75% drop if you just own the NASDAQ. Total wipeout. Today, the NASDAQ's up over 400%. Whoa, wait a minute. 400% since 2009. So it's worth asking and worth worrying today about the same thing happening. Hey, is FANG, you've heard of this, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, that's FANG. Is FANG setting you up for something like that? We worried about the same thing happening today that happened back then. And that's not the only worry to worry about. There are other pillars. There are other pillars to the wall of worry. Today, we'll talk about the top three of these. I have five of these that I've written about. And we're not going to have time for all five. I've realized that. It's taken me many, many years to realize I don't fit everything in I want to talk about in radio. So I'm going to talk about the most scary pieces of the pillars are in the wall of worry. I've got five of them. I don't know how many we'll get to them today. Probably at least three of the most worrisome pieces of the architecture that's holding this market up. So the first one, and let me run through these, by the way. Number one, we'll address the fear of FANG. Those are the tech stars that continue to pull the train of the NASDAQ. And quite frankly, a big part of the market. They drive the S&P 500 well, and I want to look as well, and I want to look through that. The number two, the age of this bull market. Isn't this bull market just getting old? At some point, doesn't the bull just keel over and die because it's just been running too long? Don't we just have to have a correction for the bull to stay healthy and rested? No, that's number two. Number three, a divided Washington. The political climate more unstable than it's been in my life, political infighting. You've got this revolving door still at the White House. It's got a constant Twitter storm about what's happening in the world. Does that worry you? And then we've got interest rates. They're starting to go up. They've been headed down for 30 plus years. Now they're going up. What's that mean? Does that spoil the stew? And then, of course, does tax reform get done or not. If no reform, we talked last week about being in tax purgatory. We had some movement, some big movement on this week. House passed the GOP bill, but there's still a lot of wood to chop to get agreement with the Senate's version. So there's still a long way to go in tax reform. And if that doesn't happen, then we've got a problem with corporate earnings. So there's a lot to still worry about. Let's start with FANG. So FANG is an acronym for, it's really, the acronym is more than just four pieces. So the acronym is F-A-N-G, but it's a little broader than that. And there are many companies that now are included in FANG, or there's a handful of companies that we're talking about here today. So FANG is really Facebook, Apple, several A's. It's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, which is really Google. And then if you really wanted to look at what's driving markets, you've got to include Microsoft as well. Microsoft's up almost 30% year to date. So it doesn't really fit into our acronym. Doesn't sound good. So we just leave it as FANG. But that's the worrisome group of stocks. Since March of this year, so let's go back about 9 months, FANG as a group has totally broken trend from the S&P 500 to the upside. The S&P 500 is up a lot. It's up almost 9% since we're looking and going back to March. But FANG is a group, not just one stock, but as a group, is up almost 30%, 28% to be exact. But the run today of FANG and this small select group of high flyers that's making this market arguably top heavy, the run today looks very different from 1999. Back in 1999, call it early 2000, technically when markets really began to crash, leadership then was even more narrow than it is today, meaning that the top 10 stocks were driving everyone else in an abnormally large way, not just a significant way, like we'll talk about today, but an excessive way. And I want to go through those numbers here this morning on Money Matters, because that's the ingredient in the stew that we should all be worried about, and I want to talk that through. Shed some light. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. The website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters and talking FANG straight ahead.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're talking about FANG, F-A-N-G, which typically refers back to the big tech drivers, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, or slash Google, Netflix. You've got to also put Microsoft in that group. And the worry is that we're looking at what happened in 1999, narrow leadership, top heaviness, ultimately led to the bursting of the tech bubble in 1999. So back then, leadership was very narrow, meaning that the top 10 stocks in the S&P 500 were driving everyone else in an abnormally large way. 1999, the top 10 companies drove 28% of the returns. So almost a third of the entire market was driven by just this handful of companies. So 2% of the market drove 28%, almost a third of the gains. Over time, look back the last 50 years. What's normal though? Because the market is weighted towards, it's cap weighted, capitalization matters. So that's not completely abnormal. The math of the of course, math works, that relationship is not overly abnormal because bigger companies have a bigger weight in the index, but it got very, very top heavy back then. The number over time should be closer to about 22%. So the big boys in the S&P 500 typically do pull a lot of weight. Today, that concentration, though, is actually below normal. So FANG concentration is below normal, under 20%. So we're a long way away from where we were in 1999 when leadership was much more top heavy. Back then, close to 30%. Today, under 20%. The five or six FANG companies, they get 100% of the media coverage. And that's what makes this conversation so important. And that's why there's so much worry around it. We're going to continue to go through some of these numbers. Stay tuned. More Money Matters. And the conversation is FANG dangerous? Straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to... I almost said Facebook. What? Facebook, Apple, Google, Netflix. Ryan and I are just talking about Facebook. Well, said, welcome to Facebook. Ryan's just commenting that how amazing the technology of Facebook is. He's tried to get off Facebook, but they continue to ping him with text messages and say, hey, Ryan, it's been a little while since you logged in, friend. Come on back. We're friends. Because you have a failed technology implementation and you just move on as consumers. I'm never going to go back. I just go back. I find somebody new. Well, Facebook won't let you do it. That's how... they have the claws in you. Facebook, Apple, Google, Netflix. So most of these companies, I would say that Facebook is like this, Apple is like this, Google is like this. Netflix, on the other hand, I would say suspect. Because Netflix doesn't really have, to me, unless their programming continues to dominate, they're just another technology that you could replace and you could download another app on your Apple TV or your Roku or through your smart TV now. That one I'm more suspect of the sustainability, but the others, they've got their claws in you. And that's the topic of today. As a refresh, if you're just tuning in, giant pillars from the wall of worry for this market, such a good stock market in 2017. The NASDAQ even more so. S&P 500 up over 15%, the NASDAQ up over 26%. The question is, on the side of the NASDAQ that's tech heavy, does it feel like 1999? And do we run the same risks that we did as the blow up in 1999, early 2000, when a few top-heavy technology companies ruled the day, eventually leading to a bubble that continued to inflate and then absolutely crashed, popped, and everyone got hurt. Many investors got hurt. The question is that happening today? That's one of the primary walls, let's call it a primary pillar in a market wall of worry. Today, we're going back to the concentration of the current FANG stocks. Today, the concentration relative to what happened in 1999 is actually not as top heavy as it was back then. So as a quick refresher, 1999, the top 10 companies drove almost a third of the return. So 2% of companies, 10 out of 500, drove almost a third of the returns. Over time in the last 50 years, what's normal? Well, that number should be closer to 22%. As again, the big companies inside the S&P 500 typically do pull a lot of weight because the S&P 500 is market cap weighted. Today, the concentration though of the top 10 companies in the S&P 500 is below normal. So it's below normal concentration, under 20%. It's a long way from where we were in 1999. Now, let's think about what happened right before the tech bubble really blew up. Here's what happened to the top five companies in the S&P 500 as the final bubble, back then, inflated right before it burst. So we'll look at markets in December of 1999. Well, this group that was pulling the train, if you will, this top-heavy group, Microsoft, Oracle, GE was part of this group back then. Cisco, Qualcomm. This is what the numbers look like right before the final, as markets inflated and then popped. Back then, we're going all the way back to 1999, Microsoft, which at the time was over 4% of the entire market, was up 28% in 1 month. Oracle was almost 1% of the whole entire market, of the S&P 500. Was up 65% in 1 month. GE was almost 4% of the entire market. It was up almost 20% in December 1999. Cisco up 20%. This is just in 1 month. Qualcomm, part of this group, up 84% in 1 month. Remember, let's go back to these expectations. Again, if you don't remember 1999, the expectations in this market had just slowly gotten ever so slightly every year out of whack and out of whack and slightly out of whack. And then it became dangerously out of whack. So 1999 was a year where market expectations had finally just gotten to the point of insanity, but because the collective emotion of America was giddy and greedy and just out of line. And everybody kind of got there slowly together, so it didn't seem as crazy as it seems today looking back to then. So I'm trying to channel that here in the year of 2017 as we head into Thanksgiving today. So that's what happened back in 1999. Companies like Qualcomm almost doubled in a month. Today, as big as the FANG run has been, and remember I said back in March of this year, the group of FANG stocks broke north and started running much faster than the rest of the market. As big as that run has been, it's nowhere near the excess of 1999. Apple, and then let's go back in the month of September where this group had the top 10 group in the market, or the top five, had a big, big run. Apple in September of 2017, huge month, but up 10%. Walmart up 12%, Intel up 19%. Microsoft up 12%, Amazon up 15%. And these are the biggest contributors for September. So even though these are some of the market cap leaders, the returns are nowhere near as ridiculous as the excess from late 1999. Remember, Qualcomm 84% in a month, Cisco, giant piece of the market, up 20%. Oracle up 65%. Microsoft up to almost 30% back then. So yes, there is some semblance of what happened in 1999, but when you really look at the numbers, it's the excess is nowhere near what we saw back then. The biggest handful of stocks can and have in many times during the past, it's created a top-heavy market environment, and that can be dangerous. That can be really dangerous. And it can lead to a tumble or a bubble popping, whatever you want to call it. That's just not the case today. So we're nowhere near the top heaviness and the excess that we saw in the 1990s tech bubble. So remember this, at least for now, and this can change, of course, but at least for now, FANG, the stocks we're talking about, FANG isn't as fatal as we might fear. Now, let's continue to talk about the pillars in this wall of worry. It's not just FANG. We crossed that one off the list. Let's cross it off the list. The next one to talk about, that again, very relevant in the conversation we're having today, is the age of this bull market. Isn't this bull market just old? Isn't the bull market getting old? At some point, don't we have to have a correction for the bull to stay healthy? Just can't keep running without falling over dead one day, right? That's another very common pillar in this wall of worry. I've heard this. We haven't had any corrections, Wes. We've had no corrections. The market can't just go straight up. And yes, we've had a very placid year. The run up without so much as a 3% correction. I want to say Barron's this week said something like, you got to go back to 1965 to see a streak of this many weeks without a correction. And yes, we've talked about that. There have been very few bumps in the road. And the bumps we've had over the past, really since the election, have been very, very mild. So we've had a placid year. Since the election, again, there's only been a correction of about 3%, which it's actually less than that. It's about 2.8% is the biggest correction we've had. But it's not as though we haven't had a pullback since the bull run began back in 2009. And the vernacular today is that, oh, we haven't had any correction since 2009. That's just not true. For some reason, we tend to forget those corrections because we have had, maybe it's because it's been such a calm year. Remember 2011? That's not that long ago. We dropped 20% from April of 2011 to October of 2011. Now that 20%, which is an official, by the way, it's official. That's an official bear market number. Interestingly, it was over 20% on an intraday basis, meaning the market actually didn't close down 20%, but pretty darn close. It closed down 19.6% on a closing basis. So the history books says it didn't really count. But if you look at market metrics, you're going to say, well, that wasn't a bear market. It really was a bear market. 20% is 20%. It happened intraday. So to say it didn't count, that's silly. It counted. It was a bear market. That was around the time we had the U.S. credit downgrade. Remember the European debt crisis? We were in the throes of the European debt crisis. It wasn't until July of 2012 that Mario Draghi said the ECB is going to do whatever it takes. Remember the famous speech? He said, we'll do whatever it takes to preserve the euro. It wasn't until then, that was a whole year later, July of 2012, that the world started to calm down a little bit. Then let's go into 2015. Again, not long ago, May of 2015 to February of last year, February of 2016, the S&P 500 fell another 14%. Well, that's a correction, right? 10% is a full correction. That just happened. That just, we just got out of correction mode February of last year. Yes, it's been a little while, but it's not as though it's been non-existent. So 2011, down 19.6% officially, but if you look on a chart, it'll show that at one point we were down 20%. 2015 to 16, down over 14%. Now we're gonna have another 10% correction. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. And of course, we'll have another bear market. That's a 20% correction, 20% plus. I don't know when it's gonna get here, but that will happen. But it's rather unlikely that the bear is in the cards anytime too soon. Because to experience a bear market in stocks, the economy, very often, not always, but very often, has to be headed into recession. The economy's got to get pretty bad. And is a recession around the corner? That's the real question. And the answer is not today. It's just not. Today, 91% of manufacturing indexes, if you look around the world, that show whether manufacturing is in expansion or contraction, 91% of them globally, country to country, 91% in expansion territory today and rising. A long way from before they get into contraction territory. So again, mark my words, a bear will come, a correction will come, but this bull isn't as old as it's often given credit for. We've had corrections. 2015 is not that long ago. 2011, not that long ago. So it's not as if this has been an uninterrupted run. Hence, let's cross another wall of worry or pillar from the wall of worry off our list. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Of course, we write about all the same topics or many of the topics we talk about here on Money Matters. The website, of course, Wes Moss Money Matters, WESMOSS.com underneath the Money tab. And of course, often I publish these in the AJC. If you go to the Living section of the AJC every other Tuesday for my column. With that, you're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News and WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates 4 times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ryan Ely, it is prize pack time, my friend.
The WSB Weekend Prize Pack is a family 4-pack of tickets to see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra perform Disney's Broadway hits on November 25th at Atlanta Symphony Hall, and a family 4-pack of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at Infinite Energy Arena. Caller number 11, the prize pack is yours.
Wow, 404-741-0750. Let me leave you with this. As we have only 2 minutes left here, political leanings, we can separate Republican and Democratic levels of optimism. There's a chart and a study done by the Ned Davis Research Group that uses the Consumer Comfort Index for Republicans and Democrats, and you can compare the two. From 1999, during Clinton, until 2000, when Bush was elected, Republicans and Democrats, their level of optimism moved together. So Republicans and Democrats alike felt good under Clinton, and really the tech boom, what we're talking about today. Then George W. was elected and everything changed. The Democrats got very pessimistic, again, in the survey, in 2001, while Republicans stayed optimistic. Then in 2008, when Obama got elected, Dems got even more pessimistic, interestingly. And Republicans went from optimistic to pessimistic. So at that point, the entire political aisle was sour, both Republicans and Democrats. And it stayed that way all the way until 2017. In 2017, Republicans finally turned positive for the first time in 8 years. And Democrats now very much today are very much feeling pessimistic as a group. So if you look at, again, this is just data from the Consumer Comfort Indexes separating out Democratic responses versus Republicans. What's interesting about this is that the Dems have actually been pessimistic and sour about the economy since 2001. And they've never really broken out of that malaise. Again, this is just according to the data. This is not a political show. This is an economic show. I will let you be the judge as to why. Good morning. Thanks for listening to Money Matters. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Catch my article this Tuesday, The $500,000 Formula, AJC Living Section. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and Thanksgiving week.